Sanjuyo
We must all strive to accomplish complete enlightened stage for the sake of liberating infinite kind mother sentient beings. And for that reason, we should cultivate the altruistic motivation or bodhicitta motivation. And with that kind of motivation, we should participate in this teaching. I believe that all of us are seeking freedom from suffering for good and lasting peace and happiness. In order to bring about the fulfillment of our wishes, which basically, as I just said, we want to be free from all kinds of suffering and the causes of suffering for good, and we want to find the highest level of peace and happiness. To fulfill all these wishes of ours, we need to engage in the abandonment of the things which need to be abandoned. We call the objects of abandonment, pangcha in Tibetan. There are a lot of things we need to get rid of, abandon. And then a lot of things that we need to cultivate and we need to accomplish, which we call things to be obtained or things to be attained. So to be able to do such things, which basically involves actions and practices, it is of utmost importance to find a very suitable life basis, the best kind of life, if you will, in samsara, that enables us to be able to get rid of all the things we need to abandon and to realize or accomplish all the things we need to accomplish. But fortunately, we all have, you know, have this wonderful, fully endowed human form, or we simply call precious human life, that is characterized by freedoms and enriching factors.
A
great masters have said that having found this kind of wonderful human life, now what we really need to think about is how best can we use this life to, as we would say, derive essence of fulfilled meaning, great meaning of life. And the way to do that is to use our life to do all that is positive and wholesome, or engage in positive actions, and to see that we don't use our life to get involved in doing the wrong thing or negativities. If we do find ourselves really getting involved in negativities, then we are wasting this wonderful human life, and that would be a great loss, according to what the great masters have got to say. Great Indian Buddhist sage and philosopher Arya Nagarjuna, in his letter to a friend called Shrulik, or Shading in Tibetan, said and gave this very beautiful example, which is that should someone own a refined gold container or a pot. So it's not only the container or the pot is made out of a refined gold, I mean, just imagine how materially valuable that is, but it's also studded with the most precious stones, you know, so this is the most magnificent container one could have. But if the owner or the person used the pot to fill in filth in it or remove filth, and how unbecoming it is for the person, and what would others say about his or her behavior, you know? So in this, you know, so in the same way, having found this wonderful, fully endowed human life or a form, if we, instead of using it to do positive things, and if we find ourselves indulged in negativities, then we have made ourselves very unbecoming, of having this precious human life. So as beginners in spiritual practice, one of the things that we should consider at first in the sort of speaking that we should really focus on is we have to look at our own mind, and we need to protect our mind. You know, that's very important for us, especially to pay attention to as beginner practitioners. I think it's important for us to understand what are the good reasons why we need to protect our mind, especially as practitioners at a beginner's level. One of the really good reasons is all our actions of body, speech, and mind. You know, those are the three types of actions we can perform. They are all, motivated by, or as if come out of what is going on inside our mind. So mind is the forerunner of all our actions, you know, physical and verbal. So as we talk about doing positive actions or the wholesome actions, good karmas, not doing the negative actions or the unwholesome or the bad karmas, all these things we are talking about that we think we should do, and is all related to our mind. It all comes from our mind, doing the positive thing or doing the negative thing. So where it all began, so to speak, is inside our mind. Whatever the mind kind of says, so to speak, our body and speech follow, so to speak, the orders given by the mind.
Give it all chimbina, and rank it, Luta Mani Botina, 아니 게위솔 냠데쇼 요니 게위 레사그레스.
So now if our mind is in a positive state, is in a wholesome state, then it's very likely that our actions of the body and speech will accordingly become positive. So that's how we have, you know, positive actions of body, speech, and mind. On the other hand, if our mind is in a negative state, then it's very likely that we do something negative physically and verbally. So that's how our actions of body, speech, and mind all become negative.
So that rank, same that give you some pena, rang rangji le teban da bichi yena. Ane sanje le chuda gendu le ta tem tendi ke tevi teba chi yena. Da luji sanje kya da luji kuyib sheba ta. Da yeng ha ke yane pe ta tenya se teba piya ta. Da ha ne ta zungha tangba la shwa ta tendi ke shawati yunya de kare zawe ane sem ke teba shen sem tenle teni sem tsevi sevi le sone. Di yes luda nganyo di yes ndane. Ani sha cheba ta ani teba piya ta tendi ke nga ke teba piya ta. Ani
Let me give you an example of how a positive state of mind can influence our actions of body and speech. Let's say we are generating a faith or trust in the three jewels, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. So we're experiencing that moment. We have faith in the three jewels. So as a result of this state of mind, which is a positive state of mind, that we may find ourselves doing prostrations physically to the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. Like that's a physical action. And maybe verbally, we find ourselves saying prayers, chanting prayers, or reciting mantras, or saying praises to Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. So now you can see how when a mind is in a positive state, such as we have faith in the three jewels, we find ourselves physically also doing something positive, such as doing prostrations to them, and also verbally reciting prayers or mantras or the praises to honor the three jewels.
That is the mind when I rank same the rain. That came under red give his old name. Tadi saya ni, ane mihelai kujib siapa, ane ngak pen jambu siapa, tadi yang dos.
And of course, I mean, this is just one single example, but even in general sense, if our mind is kind of a positive state, then we are likely to respect others, when we see them. You know, we might physically even bow down or whatever, shake hand or whatever culturally appropriate things we do to show our respect to other people. And also when we speak to them, communicate to them, our communication would be very pleasant. You know, we are not going to say the wrong thing and, use improper words and languages. Now let's consider a negative state of mind. Let's say we are very angry or upset. And then what happens is when our mind is in a negative state like that, then we, even physically, our physical behaviors also reflect the negativity in the mind. You know, even if it means giving a kind of bad eye to someone, that comes out of a negative state of mind. Or that we speak to them, we use harsh, speech or the words, bad language. Even if our best friends are around us, we really can't smile. We show our attitude, So we got an attitude problem, all around us. So this is how, as you can see, when the mind is in a negative state such as anger, then our physical and verbal behaviors or the actions are also becoming negative accordingly.
Rang sem takji shin sem de sungu gas megi visual mdo maji be cheni gi visual ko ya ta ti sungu garis.
So the point I'm making here is that protecting our minds, once our mind is a key here, You know, now that this could be related to many all kinds of practices we do. You know, when you talk about observing our vows and commitments and ethics, you know, intact. So let's say the basic ethics of abandoning 10 negative actions of body, speech, and mind. You know, again, protecting our mind is key to observing these ethics. So what is involved in protecting our mind is really watching our mind, and we have to kind of look within our mind what is going around, you know, investigating our mind, examining our mind, and whatever the language you want to use, you know. So basically, we want to figure out what is going inside us. And so what we really do is maybe the larger part of the mind, if you will, is focused on something or is involved in doing something. But the part of the mind, we use it to look at itself. Yeah. So this is called introspection practice. And when we talk about cultivating calm abiding or shamatha, mental tranquility, so how can we develop a calm abiding is only if we can prevent laxity and excitement from arising in our mind. Jingu in Tibetan, right? The dullness or the laxity. The mind sinks in, you know, it's kind of becoming dumb and dull. Or then the excitement, you know, all these things happening in the mind, and agitation. So we need to prevent those things to be able to develop the stability of the mind. And as we try to do that, in cultivating calm abiding, the larger part of the mind is involved, is trying to focus single-pointedly on our focus, whatever the focus is. But the part of the mind we call introspection is watching whether laxity and excitement, you know, either or both are disrupting, you know, our meditation. Okay? This is the same thing. That those are the techniques that we use, if you could, in everyday life to look at our mind and to protect our mind. You know, that would be very beneficial and important thing to do.
Then Dorna, then there's any wrong sympathy. Soon did any make you swan dog than a give you swan dog the taxi theatres.
So to put it simply, you know, we look at our mind and then we say, okay, I'm looking at my, is my mind, you know, thinking something negative, or is going into something to do negativity, or is it thinking about something positive, or is getting, you know, in a positive direction? That's basically what we're talking about here.
That thing, kali kabo do na, megi ishwar ne kanti ina stem sang do na, megi ishwar ne do ne ta ya takje shi ad, rang de ani mi yin le neva shi ek sang tong zem ta gar, neva shi ek tang do na, megi ishwar ne do gar, hamba do ye tang tang zem na, gevi ishwar ne do gar, ta le la bishin ne de.
So then if you're kind of thinking like, you know, what is really, I mean, negativity and, you know, positive thing that we are talking about, and this seems to be like a little above our head at this stage, but at least we should see that, is my mind thinking of, you know, doing something harm or hurt others? If that's what's happening, then that is a negativity, and we recognize it. If our mind is thinking about, you know, sort of wishing others to be happy, you know, wanting to benefit others, that is a positive state of mind. So we can you know, look at it from all these different perspectives, you know, from the Sutrayana perspective, or from the perspective of the commentary treatises on the sutras, whatever the case may be. So what we are basically trying to do is see that our mind is not thinking something negative, it's not going to follow some negative actions. That's what we try to prevent and stop and purify off our mind of that. And then if our mind is thinking something positive, you know, we try to enhance that positive state of mind. You know, we want to nurture it, we want to cultivate it and enhance it further. So as we watch our mind and try to find out whether our mind is in a negative state, you know, as I said earlier, means to find out whether our mind is, you know, thinking about negative thoughts for others. You know, we want, you know, wishing others to be unhappy, or you know, have all kinds of things go wrong with them, or wanting to really hurt them, or you know. So that's what we're talking about. If the mind is thinking something negative, wanting to harm others, wishing others to be in a harm for state, and then also maybe thinking about how, you know, we can bring the harm to others physically or verbally, then we can see that our actions of body, speech and mind, all of them are really not good. They are, you know, negative. So this is a time that all of us should keep in our mind. It is a time for us to do self-examination and look at our own state of mind. You know, what am I thinking? What am I doing physically and verbally? Am I doing something beneficial to others? Am I doing something harmful to others? Okay, that is our responsibility in practice. It is not our responsibility, and to put it straight, none of our business to find out whether others are doing it or not. You know, that is their problem, so to speak. You know, Geshe-la didn't say that. I'm speaking in American language. That's their problem, so don't get involved in that. It's just, you know, they have to do that themselves, and we have to do it ourselves. So basically I feel what I'm sharing here, as I always say, as much as I'm speaking to you, I'm also speaking to myself. I put myself in the audience. You know, it's not like I'm telling you what to do as if, you know, I can excuse myself of all the things I'm saying here. We all need to do that, you know, in our everyday life, that we watch our mind, we introspect our mind, and we need to, how should I say, direct our mind into positive things and prevent it from doing, thinking the negative things.
Kali khabore san yaji amaras. Ante khaji san tao tate jinda kali khabore. Tam mi kandar do tusa amaras ag. Yusar taba chidiri shegu yin samaj te shegu amaras.
And we must not, you know, give in to the thinking that, you know, some people think, oh my God, this is all kind of a complicated and difficult thing, you know, I can't manage it now. Maybe it's down the lines, later time, I will do it. No, they, you know, don't push it there. You know, don't procrastinate it to some other time. So if we catch ourselves doing that, you know what, it's really difficult, I can't do it now, but oh, I'll do it down someday, you know, maybe tomorrow or later or something. We have to recognize this is a form of laziness, you know. We talk, it's called laziness of procrastination. And now we are going to return to where we left off in this wonderful text called A Miscellaneous Collection of Kadamba Geshe's Personal Advices. Just to recapitulate what we did last week, one of the great Kadamba Geshe's by the name of Geshe Chenghawa, in his public discourse, you know, not addressed to any particular person, but it's a public discourse, he said that we could you know, bring spirituality into two things, two types of action, which is important to do. One is don't harm others, and the other is help others.
That the kundi yin na ba tawat ni ka nang do was. Chan se me yin le pemba du thung de na drup shis. Pemba du thung na ne ba chan shi san ma ta as ka nang ga re. Che za te ti ke chi ma chan do de pa lan shi ya de da so su ne je nyam ne shi ya de ni 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 na le du do was.
And you know that His Holiness the Dalai Lama, you know, every now and then, in his public discourses, remind us of these, you know, these two things, that if we could help others and benefit others, you know, do that. But even if we cannot benefit others or help others, at least we should see that we do not harm them. So basically, this is what we are talking about at this point, that we want to watch our mind, introspect our mind, find out whether we are thinking something positive or negative. And then if you're thinking something negative, stop it. And if doing something positive, just nurture it and enhance it further. And then see if we can help others, do it. If we can't help it, at least don't harm others. So when you put it simply in that way, as Geshe Chenpa did, like, you know, we can bring all the teachings of Buddha in some sense into these two things. Do not harm others, but help others, right? Now that might sound like a very simple statement, you know, but we must not lose the profundity of the message in these simple words and languages. As a matter of fact, all the contents of the Buddha's teachings, which are basically brought within the three baskets of teachings, for lack of better words in English, Tripitikas in Sanskrit. And the subject matters of the Tripitikas are, you know, the three higher trainings. So the essence of the three higher trainings are contained within these two things. Help others, don't harm them.
That's the other rebels. When I was here, never say anything, share it. That the anytime, you may be one get a laying of a sign girls, laying of a sign, the call of coin girls, says that the internet, that here never machine, and the rank call of choir good that you do the younger matters.
So if we kind of take time to analyze it a little bit, you know, further, then we can, I think, see it more clearly that, you know, usually when we harm others, it's basically due to delusions, deluded states of mind, right? The delusions, yeah. Delusions motivate us into doing something negative, which is the bad karma. So when we do the bad karma, the result is bad, which basically means we get stuck in samsara, which we don't want to. Okay, and so delusion plus the bad karmas equal to samsara, and which we don't want to be in. And so that's why harming others is all part of this, you know, great equation, you know, to be in samsara.
Okay.
So in a simple statement like that, you know, do not harm others, you know, there's so much in it. If you look very deeply, you know, basically harming others, as I just said, it comes out of our deluded states of mind, you know. And then there are, you know, tons of delusions, as we would say, 84,000 to the exact number, right, if somebody's keeping track of statistics. So 84,000 delusions in each of us, okay, that's not, we share all together a big number. Each of us has got 84,000. Are delusions, and so they motivate us, instigate us to engage in negative actions, which produce all the kind of negative outcomes in samsara. And if one don't want that, if one to break this cycle, so to speak, then we have to stop harming others. Okay, that's the advice Geshe Tsongkhapa is giving us. But on the other hand, if we cultivate positive states of mind such as great love, mahamaitri, great compassion, mahakaruna, bodhicitta, and then the other higher levels of realization, if we cultivate all these positive qualities, inner qualities, then we find ourselves advancing to Buddhahood and complete enlightened state. Okay? Now this is the formula to get out of samsara and to find a complete enlightened state, which all comes from, again, you know, benefiting others. So the simple, seemingly simple advice, I would put it that way, Geshe Tsongkhapa gives us, you know, if we could help others, do that. If we can't help others, you know, don't harm them at least. To be able to do those things, you know, one of the things that we really need is we need to cultivate patience or tolerance. So now one could ask, you know, what is the relevance of patience here, right? If I don't, you know, harm others, if I try to help others, where does the really patience comes here? Where it really comes is that, you know, when other people inflict problems on us or suffering, if we don't have patience, we are going to retaliate against them. Now that is a negativity.
So that zebal ani re yeng chu neba seba tel ani pa le ta ga na gi pe lo mi na ta tel pe mas ke me de res ti me ma res ani chu pin.
So when we learn about the patience and cultivate patience, what we are telling ourselves is, should someone harm me, really it makes no sense for me to return the harm to the other person, retaliate against that other person. You know, this is all just meaningless thing to do. Great Indian Buddhist sage and philosopher Acharya Chandrakirti, in his supplement to the Middle Way or Madhyamik Avatar, states, again, Geshe-la quoted the stanza from his memory, and really he gives us a very persuasive, argument here about, should someone harm us, and if we return the harm to that person, would that really help us to not experience the harm that has already been inflicted on us? You know, what does that do by harming others? Now, does that some kind of a nullify what we already experienced? You know, somebody already, you know, caused a headache to us. I mean, does that kind of a, you know, make what we already experienced go away? You know, it really doesn't do that.
So,
so the point that's being made is, you know, if we retaliate against someone who harms us, that's really not going to make any difference to whatever the pain we already experienced that was inflicted on us. Okay? But it's worse than that. Now we bring harm to them, we are perpetuating this cycle of negativity, you know. So now just because of this, you know, going back and forth, you know, other delusions pop up, especially anger. And so we are creating and intensifying the negativity, and which will bring much, again, more negative outcomes. So, you know, if we don't cultivate patience but keep on retaliating against those who harm us, then what is, you know, as we said, we are, you know, perpetuating the cycle of negativity, and which feeds into generating anger more. And so then we are also undermining our own simple principle, which is like, do not harm others. You know, we are, you know, not doing that. So to be able to work for others and benefit others, we do need to cultivate patience. Without patience, it's very difficult to benefit others. And as spiritual practitioner, our goal is to be able to succeed in what we practice and bring the practice to the state of completion, right? We want to complete our practice. To be able to do that, we really need patience, you know, or tolerance, as we say, sabha. Without patience or the tolerance, sabha, it's very difficult to succeed in what our practice and to fulfill our practice. So here the emphasis is on cultivating patience, sabha gom, you know, meditate on patience. I think the better way to say is cultivate it, you know, what does meditate on mean? You know, we need to cultivate patience, and there are many ways to do that. And I think in this text, the great master talks four different ways. One of the ways to cultivate patience is, you know, it is like we set up ourselves like a target. You know, it's we think like a, you know, metaphorical sense. You know, the people who are in archery contest or something, their aim is to shoot that, you know, arrow right into the target. So here it is as if we have set up ourselves as a target, and people are shooting at you. You know, all the, you know, nasty things. So this is where we need to put on the armor of patience so that we can stand as a good target.
Okay.
But being a target also has a sense that, you know, we have certain responsibility, or how to say, in what other people are doing to us. Okay? You know, it's because of maybe our own delusions and actions that people are reacting to us. So in this case, we are also responsible for setting up this target before others, you know. And so now they are shooting at us.
Oh,
I see. I guess I'm trying to kind of, you know, clarify a point. For example, say, you know, this other person, whoever he or she or they are, has really not done anything to us. But if we accuse the person for harming us, right, accusation is a bad thing, right? Now we set up the target, this person will go nuts about that, right, the false accusation, and going to shoot at us.
Yes. No, sir.
Yes.
later on sajusante tembi kondusyon res.
So from karmic point of view, we ourselves have created or maybe are creating a lot of karmas, you know, which are like almost like a setting up the target, and that's what other peoples are reacting to us and and harming us. But in the first place, theoretically speaking, and karmically speaking, if we ourselves don't do anything bad to others, don't do anything negative, then there's no way others can harm us. You know, there is no target, so to speak, you know, for them to, you know, hurl all the negativities at.
So tell you, rang yin na kondo sagwe na garse lega ke majida ne kondo yin sa ni yin ke kondo nda tarang yu maro basta tika ji tika le la bujin ten.
So if you don't upset or make somebody mad and crazy, you know, I think there's no point that other person has a reason to go mad and nut with us, you know, nuts about us.
Tati ali zeba gonta tambu de che ta.
So that's one way to practice or cultivate patience.
Nda lens benzuk chis nda shona te benzu ne ten ta ten da shumre ta ten gonza chi she. Ta ya ni ba de gre na shang ni ji chu ji.
Now another way or approach to cultivate patience or tolerance is from the point of view of what we call love and compassion.
Parneva machine ane and the machine de tambote nina ledele ungues lobe nomi tsuji gomba de kyi kyi tsuji kyi tsuji maybe saki kyi bod machi pange nina yame no dalim dan zeba gontante ale dalim benzu tsuji gomba skikshe
no. First, maybe we should just kind of highlight the four different ways to cultivate patience, and then, you know, talk about each of them.
Mm.
Now, the first one is called, metaphorically speaking, Dalen Benzu. Da is the arrow, and Ben is the target. So this is, you know, that kind of a metaphor we use, that if we don't set up the target, nobody's going to shoot the arrow of negativities at us. Okay? So with that kind of understanding, we could cultivate patience, as we talked about it already. Now, the second one is, second approach, is cultivating patience, from the point of view of love and compassion.
Yes.
And the third approach is, cultivating patience, thinking in terms of teacher-student relationship, okay, maybe guru-disciple relationship, maybe you like that better.
Tai yiba deni kyunyi zuji gombas.
And the fourth approach is cultivating patience in terms of understanding what is there in the nature of things, so to speak. What is the reality, so to speak?
Tati si yiba de gandu sin chuan ma kyu ne yawe. Ani ta tambu den dalim benzu ji zuji gomba nes. Benam ben ma chu nan dam hu la sa ta.
So the first one we already talked about is, if we do not set up the target, there's no way other can shoot arrow. Even if they do, it's not going to hit the target. It will go somewhere. Okay? So because there's that relationship, you know, if arrow needs to hit the target, there has to be target. Now who is setting up the target? Maybe we are setting up the target and we're getting hit. Okay. That's one way of understanding the relationship here between others' actions and ourselves, and cultivate patience. So relating to that is, you know, as we talked about, we have created the karmas, you know, due to which others are harming us. Okay, so now maybe we might think like, well, in this lifetime, I didn't really do anything bad. So why is all this thing happening? But we really have to look a little beyond that and think in terms of many lifetimes before where we did harm others and did a lot of negativities. So our previous negative karmic actions are, you know, in a sense, setting up the target now, and that's why others are shooting their arrows of negativity at us.
So that the Chenghamal ane Chendela ane yeng never shongate rang Chenghamal lenge sakwe dal debi imba samtong ta.
So what is being done to us by the others, the harmful things, is the outcome or the result of what we did to others in the negativities in the past. So one of the really things that we should really watch out is do not get angry with others, because anger is a very destructive a negative emotion, and we have a passage from great Bodhisattva Mahasattva Shantideva's A Guide to Bodhisattva's Way of Life.
Rang ini shenjules detar phane majena gayan chula ne mejes ane rang pha bhien ne ba majena ying ran chula ba sing mares kanang ne ba mejes.
So what is being said by the great Bodhisattva Shantideva is that if we have not harmed others, if we do not harm others, others are not going to do that to us. So now we might think this way, that, I have never seen this person in my life, here. So how could I have done anything to him or her, right? I mean, it's possible, right? We might justify, right? How on the earth, whatever this person did to me, that I really haven't seen this, in my life. This is the first time, right? So we could, find justification for our getting angry or whatever, And all those lines which contain the words of Bodhisattva Shantideva tell us is basically providing the answer for that kind of a dilemma or a justification we make. So, yeah, it could be true that in this lifetime you have never seen this person's face before. Okay? But the fact of the matter is that in many previous lifetimes, we or you did a lot of harms to other beings and people. So what you are experiencing now is the outcome of those negativities you or I or we did in our past lives. So that's the kind of understanding we should bring to cultivate patience. And here Gishe Chengpa says, if the life before is too far and too difficult to think about, don't have to go that far, just think about this life, how things we do in the early part of our life, our actions have repercussions in the later part of our life. If we harm others in the first part of our life, but in the second part of our life, others are, paying back. So basically, we are kind of trying to go into as much detail as we can in terms of doing this kind of thing. What I did in the early part of my life, because of that, now I'm experiencing this kind of negativity from others. Okay? Or because of what I did last year, well, I thought, I got off. No, this year, somebody is paying back. Okay? Because of what I did last month, I thought I was free. Well, this month, somebody remembers and is doing it back, Or because of the last week, because of yesterday what I did, but today, I got it back. So we just go more into detail and try to understand the situation here. And if you kind of want to really sort of test this, so to speak, you know, then you just, we can say right here and now, right? We say something nasty, right, words to somebody, we'll just get the reaction back, you know? It doesn't take time, you know, what it really means to harm others.
Then as, tangi rang, ta rang le, mi kondra sheba, tangi rang, ben tsukba la ten shong yin, sam na tang, pe, ne le de, yin je rang neba sheba, te, ane pege,
So I think the key point here is, you know, we are not putting the blame on the other person because he or she or they are the ones who are shooting the arrows at us. But the key thing to cultivate patience is we are saying, okay, I have certain, you know, roles I played in this whole thing. I have set up the target because of my own negativities, karmas I did in the past, or because of my delusions. So therefore, it is understandable. When I set up the target, people are going to do the practice, shooting practice here, right? So we just kind of take the blames, if you like, or to put it that way, upon ourselves, and then that understanding helps us to cultivate patience.
Yes.
Yes. And you know, in our society, we know how even this, you know, few words could make a big impact and difference. Like, you know, some people are even them, they are telling the truth, so to speak, but that really upsets other people so much. So basically what we're saying is, you know, when others are reacting negatively to us or doing something harmful to us, you know, we should not retaliate against them, but try to stay cool. I think that's the, you know, maybe the today's language for patience, right? Be cool. You know, stay cool. So we're basically taking the, you know, we're giving the, if you will, the victory and the gain to the other. We're taking the defeat and the loss upon ourselves by saying that, you know what, I am responsible for what he or she is doing to me. I set up the target. You know, I said the bad thing before. I did the bad karma. I did the delusional thing. Okay, I do get it now, you know. It's not because of them, it's because of me. And then we take the blame and the defeat and the loss to ourselves and give the victory and the benefits and the goodies to others.
You know.
Another way to cultivate patience, as we mentioned earlier, is from the point of view of love and compassion. Now, this is an example given here is when a crazy person, you know, really does something bad to us, right? We usually understand the situation, don't we, right? We are not going to go mad and really angry with a crazy person because of, you know, whatever this predicament he or she is dealing with, we understand crazy people do crazy things, you know, and we understand and we don't retaliate against the person, you know, because we have more compassion for understanding his or her situation, and then we can cultivate patience. So here, I mean, this approach to cultivate patience is trying to understand the predicament and the situation of the other person who is harming us, right? We try to separate the person from his or her delusions and the craziness, okay? And we say that it's not because so much the person is dying to harm me or really kind of at a will or power making decision, I want to harm this person. But basically, he or she is gone crazy with the delusional thinking. Now, the delusions are influencing the person to behave the way he or she is behaving. So who is to be blamed? His or her delusions, not the person. We separate the person from his or her deluded way of thinking, and then we develop compassion and love for the person with that understanding and cultivate patience.
Flat and loot and drain the condition, never say any, same idea, she chavat and dina, colored and dawaka his own dinner, they call drag big your was. That and dream ever said, but later, she was Tom of the later and Yaman be wonky, then you know, but that you know, the human and each other can see. Then I say, Samuel of the Munich Rune, so show Tom of Samuel, then human and each other girl. That is that day leg, later and Yaman, you want to show Tom of the pay, never charge that could come, eh, Sammy.
So then, you know, what we were giggling over was like, you know, the master is going to talk about different types of craziness, you know, crazy people. It's not just one kind or homogeneous group. You know, there are different levels of craziness. And maybe some people have gone crazy because some invisible beings are influencing them. It could be the negative spirits or some demonic forces or whatever the, you know, things happening with their life. Or maybe the nagas are so mad with them. The serpents, or what Kishla would like to call mermaids, got mad with them. And so in which case we understand, well, this is a very temporary thing. You know, maybe the person has gone crazy for a few months or a short period of time. So when the nagas let go, you know, that person, or what the evil spirits say, okay, I will let you go now, you know, then he or she will be fine. Okay, so we understand that. But we as ordinary sentient beings are really, in some sense, metaphorically speaking, a worse form of crazy people. Now, because of all these delusions and negative karmic actions we create from beginningless time until now, honestly, we look at ourselves from that point of view, it is kind of a really sad picture, you know, that we are carrying so much baggage for such a long time. And we do so many crazy things because of our delusions and negative karmic actions. So when that is the case, the one who is harming us is an equally deluded sentient being, gone crazy of the worst kind for such a long period of time. What can we really expect? You know, from the person, some nice things? Well, not really. Okay, so crazy person will do crazy thing, and we have to understand that, and we... you know, develop compassion and love for the agents.
That in the Gane, Yenji and the Ran never Sebanani, Sangi Gonene, that Yen Pacondo Sijam is over Gom's canon. The Imbijan said that, and this change you can do in a canon.
So the main point is that we try to understand the situation, we separate the people from their delusions, and then we understand the people, you know, we attack the delusions and we blame them, and then we cultivate love and compassion for the people, not for the delusions, and we cultivate patience. And now we have a passage, you know, to elucidate this whole thing from Shantideva's work.
That is on the Kati Nyamo Wang Jurvis, Kati Stak Mikangi Kari, Nyomi Bond Chinese, and a Dadu Nijan Sushinus, Dadu Nijan Sushinus, that round the Lipina, then they.
Now here the Shantideva is telling us that when we see, as people get really delusional in a spiritual, you know, how should I say, deluded thinking, they even go to the extent of destroying themselves. That being the case, right, of course we understand they would do crazy things to other people.
So today, there's it, and it's me, and yell and yell, you'll never measure, and it's a dangerous
thing. So, if it, you know, if somebody can go to the extent of destroying himself or herself, now how can we expect this person to be nice and kind and beneficial to other people? Of course. They wouldn't care a thing to harm others because they don't care about themselves either. Okay? And when we look at this whole situation more carefully, what we really see is all kinds of delusions and negativities we do, it is really self-destructive. It's almost like we are killing ourselves. You know? So when we can do that to ourselves, what can we expect from other deluded people? So thinking in all those different ways, then we try to understand the situation, cultivate love and compassion for the people, and stay cool.
So let's
Now let's talk about how to cultivate patience, thinking in terms of guru-disciple relationship or teacher-student relationship, and how does that work here? Examples given here is, let's say in the case of someone who wants to take monastic ordination, there has to be what we call an abbot, you know, who can conduct the ceremony and give you the ordination. If there's no such abbot, you know, who can do that, preceptor, then there's no way to get the ordination. Okay? So abbot plays a central role for getting the ordination, getting ordained. Or in the case of getting spiritual education or the Dharma teachings, there has to be qualified teacher. If you don't have qualified teachers, there is no teaching, right? So that's central to the spiritual education. In the same way, we try to understand here, if there are no harmful agents and people, then how can we really practice patience or tolerance? You know, they are the teachers of patience, okay? They give us the opportunities to cultivate patience. So without them, it is like we have no Dharma teacher, no teaching. Without them, there is no spiritual abbot, no ordination. So without the enemies, there's no opportunity to practice patience.
So
in this kind of a situation, we kind of, if you will, you know, we see those who are harming us as if they were our gurus or the teachers, and we are their disciples or the students, you know. So in this case, you know, we are even grateful to them. We should be, because they are giving us the real opportunity to practice patience or tolerance. So in that sense, they are very kind, you know, to us.
Yes.
Now the fourth way to cultivate patience is, we said, thinking about what is there in the nature or the reality. And the word that's being used is called chunyi, means the, now we can now just say this ultimate reality or suchness or thatness. Now what this really means is that when we look at all the things involved in what is being experienced, those who are harming us, call them harmful agents or actors, what is being done to us, harmful actions or the harm, and us who are experiencing the harm, the receivers of the harm, all of us, in an ultimate sense, do not exist objectively and in of ourselves. Everything is in the nature of emptiness, shunyata. Yeah? And so there's nothing to grasp at, you know, because everything is in the nature of emptiness of inherent existence. And all phenomena are just like what we experience in the dream. They are just like a magical creation. There is no real substance in anything here. So with that kind of understanding of the nature, ultimate nature of things, we cultivate patience.
This one, Tatarji, Dala, Govala, Sopar, now and this, the Tamjis, Ransi, Tripi, Chontri, Melam, Jumatabi, Impish, Tati, Juma Yin Sungu, Jumatabu, the Melam Tabs, then you have Jaguar. And it, the next on the Tani, and that, and the Yin Pa, Yin Ram, never she was in the pay, Pa Lil.
So here we are, you know, how should I say, thinking about the ultimate reality or the nature of phenomena, all things that exist. In this particular case, the harmful agents, the harm being produced, and the receiver, we as receiver of the harm. We say that all of these things are just like a magical creation. The instrumental word is just like. We are not saying they are magical creation. Just like what we experience in the dream. It's like having a bad dream, actually. Okay? And there's really no true substance. And the reason we are having a bad dream here is because of our own grasping at things. Because this is exaggerating, right? Our grasping at a thing is creating all these delusional things where we grasp at these other people as a truly existent harmful agents, and what they do to us is truly justified, inherently existent harm produced, and we are the inherently existent receiver of the harms, and so now all things are going like, you know, crazy things here. So basically it's all because of our own grasping at things and misconceptions. So when we understand that, the true nature of all things is empty of inherent existence. There's no true substance to anything. So with that kind of understanding, then we can stay cool. So basically all the things good and bad we experience in our life, you know, they are just like what we see in a dream, experience in a dream, just like watching a magic show. Okay? And so it is just like we're having one bad dream. But when having a bad dream, you know, it seems like all true, right? We are being hurt and, you know, we get mad and all these things happen. But once we awake, that was just a bad dream, right? Now we don't still get mad with the people in the dream harming us, do we, right? That was just kind of funny, you know, silly thing what happened in the dream. So just like that, because of our own grasping at true existence of things, it's one bad dream we have. It feels like others are doing unjustified harm to us. We are the fully justified, humble receiver of these harms, you know. And all of these things is happening to us, and that's why we get mad and, you know, all things are going wrong. And so when we understand the true nature of things, we are not saying that conventionally there are no such things as people harming us, or there's no such thing as harmful actions, there's no such thing as receiving harm. Conventionally, all these things exist. Okay, so don't get us wrong. But in an ultimate sense, there is no substance to all these things, meaning that there's no inherent substance we are attributing to all these things and grasping at all these things. No such things exist. So with that kind of understanding, you know, we can you know, cultivate patience.
Legal is a town, Woki Bakikani, Sena Kun Hibishipe, Sing Embala, Tahana Yipe, and Tahana Yikita, though the Duwalas, the Nick Dunshin Savina, Sang to the Sunday and Kurzai.
One nation was over again.
Amenda, Sena Malan,
Almilan, Alonso. I mean, just think about this, you know. you have a one bad dream, somehow one of your co-workers is just,
your
friend, and co-worker friend, okay, let's add the friend to the co-worker. So, I don't know why the friend would beat you up, but anyway, so in your dream, your co-worker friend is going nuts and beating you like, you know, hell, and saying all the nasty things in the world and accusing of all those things, and you know, you have one bad dream. But tomorrow when you go to the work and see your friend, right, are you still going to be mad with the person? Right?
No.
So tomorrow you are just fine, right? You just, maybe you might even just have a quite a sense of humor about this thing. So that's how we practice, you know, tolerance, understanding the nature of things. So I think that's a good, you know, place to stop for today. And today is an amazing day. The list is going on. Oh, that's an announcement actually. Alright, so first I will do the prayer request and then do the announcement. A lot of prayers have been requested for people who are no more with us. And Michael Inshik Kim, Huntington Bucky Block. Is that a real name? Anyway, Mark Cameron Majestic, Wayne Roundtree, Joseph Frantom, Edward, Pam Tan Dean, Richard Fred. Prayers have been requested for good rebirth for them. Those who are dealing with health issues, Daniel Wong, Florence and Richard Graving, Tori Mudd, Guy Waldron. Prayers for recovery from their health issues. And an announcement. Tomorrow is the 10th March Uprising, Tibetan, and I think Tibetan Association of the Southern California has organized a protest or demonstration at 2 p.m. Along with the Students for Free Tibet, you can visit the website or for details. Yeah, for details, go to the website. I think I heard that they're going to do a protest near the Chinese consulate or something, but don't take my words. Just check the details so that you don't blame on me, you know. So thinking about the people for whom prayers have been requested for, and wishing those who have passed away, you know, find good rebirths, and wishing those who are, you know, dealing with health issues to recover soon from their, you know, health predicaments, we generate positive thoughts and recite the six syllable mantra of compassion for them.
Salong
Whatever merit we have accumulated together today, we dedicate it for the long life of His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other holy masters. May they live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May Dharma, the source of benefit and happiness, flourishes throughout the universe. May spiritual practitioners from all different traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May this and other world environments be free of unwanted pains and problems, and everybody find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. In short, we dedicate our collective marriage for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration, and maybe all reach Buddhahood soon.
Guru Namam Jalam Niyadaya Amen.